This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
You know what I've been... What?
Did you hear that? What is that? There's freaking Daddy Yankee playing outside. Mango está la gasolina.
The gasolina. You know what I've been, like, not doing recently? Talking. But... Like, I have nothing to say. I don't know why. I feel like it's a universal...
Like people around you?
It's a universal thing at this time of the year. Because everyone's just, like, on vacation mode already. But it's also, like, burnt out because you've been working for 11 months straight, probably. Unless you haven't, then good for you. So I got nothing to say.
Like, so do you want to just, like, end this episode?
Yeah, all right, guys. Anyways, thank you so much for watching.
What? I mean, what are you talking about? You're surrounded by people every single day of your life.
Yeah, I know. But, like, I feel like I always have something to say because I talk a lot. Like, you know I talk a lot. We are recording less than 12 hours before you were listening to this on Friday morning.
You don't tell people that.
Because, okay, honestly.
Listen, we've just had really long weeks. Yeah. It's been very complex weeks for the both of us.
Final season.
If you guys are curious, you know, we're recording this the night before we're uploading it.
But honestly, we are your favorite podcasters because who else would do that?
Yeah.
Because we're recording the night before. We're committed as hell, and also we're editing it, and we're making a post. Where else can you get that?
So nowhere.
My point is, like, I got nothing to say, but I'm gonna try.
Nice.
Period. That's it.
I can't wait until we're like big and famous and like the two podcasters that everybody loves,
yes,
to
sir.
Where we can literally just we can just have an episode. Can I finish what I'm saying? No? No, I'm good. Where we can literally just have episodes where, like, we just record the hour beforehand and we just put that up and people love it. That would make things so much easier for us.
All right, anyways, welcome back to Difficult-ish, a podcast about different South Asian narratives. I am Mahua.
I am Mashner.
So today we're going to be talking about different insults that we've gotten or different comments that we've gotten over the past, but mostly negative. And it's very interesting because when we first thought of this idea, we were assuming that we were going to talk about, you know, comments we've gotten in high school and elementary school, because kids back then in the early 2000s, they were ruthless. They were
ruthless.
They said anything and everything and you like laughed along. If you didn't kick the curb, you're out, you know?
Right.
But surprisingly enough, a lot of the responses that we got from you guys on Instagram at Difficult-ish were relating to family and all of the comments that you've gotten from family members. So I think that's very interesting. So
yeah, we didn't even think about that before we thought of this topic, but that's like a whole different genre of this we can go into.
Yeah, but we did talk about some of the comments we've gotten from family members in the Why Are You Wearing That episode that we have.
That's true.
Like all the comments that we've gotten about fashion and about our body. So if you want to listen to that, you can. So we are going to talk about the two different types of comments we've gotten from school, from the public, as well as our family members, since that's what you guys have been wanting.
Sorry, like literally I had to burp in that same moment that you stopped talking.
Why did you have to give me a full explanation for that?
Yeah, I feel like we've been talking about so many serious things in the last couple episodes, and I want to, like, I don't know, when I first thought about this podcast, I don't know, I want to be a little chill, you know?
We are chill.
Talk about a little funny things.
But honestly, like, this is probably one of the worst topics to be funny on, because it's literally we're talking about, like, the insults that we got as a kid.
But the thing is, like, I don't really think I ever got, like, hurt by it. Like, did you get hurt at the time from Like, we haven't even talked about, like, the stuff we've heard, but, like, how did you feel about, like, how did you feel about it? Were you hurt? Did you, like, not care?
At the time, I didn't get hurt, or it didn't really hit me as it does now. You know, after a lot of reflection, I realized that those comments were pretty shitty, and, but those comments did affect me in a way where it caused me to, like, not do the things that they were talking about. Like, for example, it's crazy, I was wearing hijab in sixth grade, and this was such a big decision for me. I was so proud of myself because my parents didn't tell me to wear it. And it's like, as a 10, 11-year-old, you're really happy because, you know, it was after Christmas break. So I was like, okay, this is like my transformation. Like, they're going to get so surprised with me wearing hijab. And then I just remember going into school and there was just this shift of energy. And this might just be like me remembering wrong or like me making it bigger in my head. But I felt like I lost friends after me wearing it. I felt like I was getting different looks. So when I was in sixth grade, I was, that was what year? Like 2010.
Sixth grade.
So this was 9 years past 9/11. And it was still pretty fresh. Like there were still so many stereotypes and so many backwards thoughts about that. It's not as progressive as now, even though now it's still pretty bad. So I just remember, like, feeling very excluded. I felt very, like, empty. I love how this is, like, the first thing we're talking about, and it's not funny at all. And so I remember after 1 month of me feeling like I had no friends anymore, of me feeling like I was kind of just to myself, I took the hijab off. And I felt like that was the only choice that I could make after feeling that, you know, that loneliness in sixth grade. So literally, like, half of my yearbook pictures is just me with my hair, and the other half is me with my hijab. And I don't know, it's just, it's very, like, that's such a big part of your life, you know, when something like that happens.
You ever think about putting it back on?
Maybe in the future, yeah. But it's very interesting how, like, things like that really define you. Like, obviously in that moment, I didn't really understand what was going on. I kind of just took it off because I wanted my friends back. But now I realize just how messed up that was and just how crazy that is for like a 11-year-old to feel that, you know, especially in such a white school.
And it's sad because like you can't really blame like the kids because they're just kids. Like you blame their parents for not teaching them the right things, for not bringing them up their correct way. And it's sad. I remember in, like, in sixth grade, I went to, like, a very public school. It was, like, very Spanish and black heavy. And things were honestly perfectly fine there, even though I was one of the few brown kids. You know, the part of Orlando I'm from, they're pretty accepting of, like, anybody. At least anybody who, like, is a minority. They kind of treat everybody, like, equally. And, like, honestly, I never really heard anything from, like, my community like that. But, seventh grade, I went to a charter school that had, like, a lot of white kids in it. And, I had, like, a friend at the time, and, like, he would always just call me India. Like,
oh my God.
He wouldn't say, like, oh, you're from India. Like, my name was India.
That's
like, that
crazy.
Was, like, my name in, like, the friend group. And I thought it was, like, fine. Jokes. I didn't care.
You know, literally, like, I remember this one kid in my high school who I was friends with. Like, it was so funny. Ha ha ha. Like, he literally had my name as terrorist on his phone as his contact.
You're lying.
No. And I'm like, ha ha. Like, you're so funny. Like, that's the funniest thing ever. Like, you know, I was laughing along. I had, like, tears in my eyes, but I was, like, laughing along. But, like, also in that moment, like, it didn't seem like, oh, everyone's joking, you know? Like, this is not that big of a deal. Like, I'll look stupid if I bring this up. But really, like, that's really significant when you're in high school. And even the other day, someone in my class, we were talking about like the experiences that we have in our culture and whatever, and then like someone next to me, she was like, oh yeah, like from India, right? Like she said that so quick, and I was like, no, I meant like Bangladesh because that's where I'm from. But it's like their little knowledge in the countries outside of just the one that they know, like that just puts you in a box. It's like, I'm not Indian. It's also like, I'm not trying to like come at Indian people by not trying to associate with them, but it's also like, please get it right. It's just ignorance.
I think that's such like a big issue that like makes me like upset a lot. It's just the fact that like people's like unawareness of recognizing that they don't know what they're talking about. You know, it's like people, like everybody thinks they know everything. Like everybody thinks they know the whole situation when like they're just so unaware to like how little they know. And it's so upsetting. Like, that's why, like, I hate people who, like, jump to conclusions. I hate people who are just so quick to say something when they, like, don't even know what they're saying. Like, so many people are so quick to call, you know, Bangladesh India or whatever and just say anything that has to do with culture. And, you know, like, a lot of people make fun of, like, curry. And, like, people, like, they don't even know what curry is.
You know what's crazy? Like, all the features that we got made fun of in the past, they're literally trends now.
Yeah.
Like, I saw something on TikTok today where...
You know how popular, like, Indian food is getting? How popular, like...
Yes. Yeah, man. I saw something on TikTok today where this girl was saying that, oh, like, I used to get made fun of my unibrow. But then she, like, showed a video of all of her hairs on her eyebrow. And they're all real. And she has thick eyebrows, which is a trend now because people are, like, filling in their eyebrows to make it look thick. And, like, you know, putting soap and shit to make it look thicker. But it's like we've had that since birth, but we were made fun of for it, but now it's a trend, so now it's like
How you feel about, like, because it's there's also there's this like underground rapper that that's been getting like really popular, and his name is Yeet. I don't know if you've heard of Yeet? Yeet. His name's Yeet.
Yeet.
Y-E-A-T. Yeet.
Yeet. Like, yeah. Yeet.
and he's getting really popular, and like his like signature look is like basically having like a it's so funny. I'm gonna show you a picture after we're done, but it's like he's literally wearing like a hijab, but it's like a loosely fitted hijab. Like, he just takes a scarf and like wraps it around his head the same way a hijab would
like
be
the
wrapped.
Gucci type of look that people just put on, like silk scarves, like ASAP Rocky,
right? But it's in a very like grungy, like underground kind of look, and like don't get, like, it looks cool, like he looks like fine in it, but I just think it's like, and I personally like don't really mind, because I think it depends, like there's a fine line between like, you know, like culturally appropriating and like doing something just for the style, but like he's a white kid.
Oh,
but he's not trying to, you know, like show like, oh, like a hijab. Like, he just thinks it's like a cool look, and like it's become like his thing, you know. He like in all of his music videos and all of his pictures, he has like the scarf around his head, and like it looks kind of cool. So like, do you feel like that's kind of like,
I mean,
when you see like white girls running around with like bindis and shit?
Oh,
like,
hell no.
What do you think?
Oh, hell no. That's full on cultural appropriation. I cannot accept that in any way, especially if like they have no knowledge or information on it, but they're just wearing it to festivals. Oh, hell no. But I literally have white people DMing me asking to buy my merch, but they're asking for permission because they don't want to cultural appropriate. And I think that's fine, because that's literally celebrating the culture, and that's wanting to learn more about it and wanting to appreciate it. I worked with a white teacher last semester, and she's wanted to buy my Bangladesh tote bag, but she didn't know if it was acceptable. And she also wears henna sometimes. But that's like supporting the small business that's giving you the henna. That's like wanting to understand the culture. So that's different than that. I feel like what you're talking about, the rapper wearing the hijabs type of style, I think it is like is derived from the hijab. Like, that style is rooted from the hijab. Maybe it is different, but it's just crazy how, like, if a white person wears the same thing that an actual Middle Eastern, an actual Muslim person wore,
right,
like, they would get shit on.
It's style.
When a white person does it, they're
a trendsetter.
Yes. Like, do you remember when Kim, what's her name? Forget it. Kim West. What's her name? Oh, Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian West. She wore this full-on, like, black bodysuit to the Met Gala. Did you see that? It was, full-on. Her face was covered. It was, like, a full black abaya. And, like, she got so many compliments on that. She was, like, on Vogue and, like, all these popular magazines because she was fashion-forward. She was, like, creating a trend. Whereas people that are wearing niqabs, wearing full hijabs, like, they get shit on. They get canceled like freaking crazy, bro. So what I'm saying, it's like the shit that we got insulted for when you were younger, they're coming back, girls. Girls and guys, girls and mans.
What are some what's another insult you used to hear a lot, or maybe you've heard that's really stuck with you for a while?
I feel like now is a good time to start mentioning the family part, because I think a lot of people mention their family experiences and the things that they experience in their homes, because those are just so much more in your face, and it hurts more because they actually live with you, or like people you care about, and you hear more often, obviously, because you know you see them more. But
I'll go first if we're talking about that. Yeah. I think the big one for me is, like, you know, a little bit of context. I've always like underperformed in school, and compared to like a lot of the other brown kids that I went to school with or that were in like my kind of community, I was really seen as just kind of like the failure, like the dumb brown kid. Like, there was always like that one, like, were there any, like, I don't want to say dumb, but like those like underperforming brown kids in your kind of school? Like, you would kind of like, obviously not now, but at the time, you would look at them, you're like, damn, like, you would look at them a little bit different, you know? And like, a lot of people definitely looked at me a little bit different. Not even a little bit, like a lot of bit different, because like everybody knew how bad I was doing at school.
I still get that.
And what the hell? Shut the hell up. You got a freaking like 6.87. Like, what's wrong with you?
No, I mean, people look at me different because I didn't pursue like medical or, you know, STEM.
Oh, I was talking about GPA.
I don't know what you got like so heated there, but continue on. 6.87. All right.
But yeah, my mom used to kind of, my mom and my dad used to always just kind of like, I don't want to say they'd like call me dumb, but they would always like insinuate like everybody else is smarter than you. You know, like everybody else is doing like so much better than you. And that definitely like did not help me at all. It made me even perform worse in school because it didn't feel like anybody had any faith in like in me that I was going to do any better. So I definitely heard that a lot at home. Like, even like, I don't know, I don't even want to go into detail, but it rocked with me a lot. And, you know, to this day, like, I use it as motivation now, as like, I put up this new poster on my wall, and it says, show the ones who didn't see it. And that kind of goes two ways. One being, you know, prove to the people who called you dumb that you're not dumb. And also, you know, show the people who like didn't get the opportunity to see something, you know, show it to them. So I really like how I don't think I got that from anywhere else. I think that came straight off the top, off the
dome. You hear that? You hear that?
Freestyle.
Mr. Poet coming through. Watch out. Book coming soon. Have fun.
What's going on today? And, so yeah. I got called dumb a lot, and it made me really sad. And like, it relates to like the whole cultural thing, because, you know, it was like, you're dumb for a brown kid. And I was just like, that doesn't make me happy. Like, and the worst part was like, I wasn't dumb. Like, yeah, I didn't do good at school, but I was good at a lot of things.
That shit literally takes such a toll on your mental health and your confidence and so many things, especially when you get those comments at such a young age. And I remember getting those comments too, because I was not excelling as much as everyone else in my community. And I just felt like shit, because my parents were like, oh, why did we move here if you're gonna get like a 85? Even though an 85 is not bad. And it's like, just because I'm not good at math and science doesn't mean I'm not good at these other things, so why aren't you looking at that?
I think that's like the other part I wanted to add, is like, your parents just guilt trip you so much, and like, the we came here for you to do this and you can't even do it, when it's like, there's more to the world than getting an A in a class, you know? Like, you know, you came here for us to get a better life, not for me to get an A in a class. And I'm sure that like one leads to the other, but it's not like, just because I get the A in the class doesn't mean I'm gonna, you know, be good in life. Like, I know so many kids who are like cool students in school, but they're still kind of doing their thing and trying to figure out where, like, I'm here progressing in life, you know? So yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
Did you get any comments based on your appearance?
You know, I didn't really hear much about being, like, brown skin because there were a lot of brown skin people. Honestly, no. Nothing that's probably, like, I mean, obviously I probably have, but nothing that stuck with me. I got a pretty big nose, and I think I got made fun of that for a while. But I think, you know, when I got a little bit older, and I used to always hear, like, Muslim jokes, and I used to always hear, like, terrorist jokes. And those I never took to heart until I got older. One of the first, like, notable spoken word piece that I wrote was about, you know, being Muslim, and it was about, like, Islamophobia, and it got reposted a lot. Like, I didn't even post it on Twitter. It was posted on Twitter by somebody who was at the thing that I was performing at, and it got, like, a couple hundred retweets. I was feeling a little cloudy at the moment.
Hot boy face.
A little cloudy at the moment for me.
It's crazy how your identity is so close-knit with your religion as well as your ethnicity as well. But I feel like a lot of other people don't really relate to this part because there isn't too much discrimination against, like, Christian South Asians, you know, because their religion isn't really, like, discriminated against.
No, but it's people are still going to make fun of them because, like, they're just going to call them Hindu.
Of course. But I'm saying because of our religion, we had specific comments at us because of it.
Yeah.
And it was just so normalized.
I think, like, one of the differences between us is, like, when we were both, like, 18, I think you started identifying more as, you know, Bangladeshi. And, like, yeah. I started identifying more as, like, Muslim. It wasn't until, like, last year where I really started recognizing and, like, appreciating the fact that, like, I was Bangladeshi. So, like, a lot of the things that I heard relate to, like, Islam and, like, religion. And maybe some of the things that you hear are more about, like, your appearance and, like, your skin color and whatnot.
That's very interesting.
What about you? Did you hear anything that's really stuck with you from your family about the way you look? About whatever the case may be.
Girls just get so many more compliments on appearance in comparison to males from what I have seen and from what I have witnessed myself in my household. So a lot of the comments that I got were revolved around my skin color, my weight, my like size, my body shape, my hair color, my ear, like, just so many different things. And it's very hard as, like, a young teen or, like, a young adult experimenting with different things. Like, you know, I got piercings, I dyed my hair and tried new makeup styles. And I get family members and parents not really understanding that because they aren't used to that. But it's also, like, if you see that your daughter is experimenting with these different things, or, like, they're growing up, so they have body changes, they have face changes, and they're probably already, like, not confident about it yet. And even if they are confident about it, why would you, like, bring them down, you know?
Yeah.
So I had a lot of that growing up, and it's such a big process to unlearn that, and such a big process to go on that journey of self-love after hearing all of those comments, and I'm still on that boat. But yeah, like, I had a lot of appearance-based comments from family members. I had a lot of why aren't you on the doctor route comments. I felt like dumb. I don't know, it's like I haven't really met, like, supportive parents to the fullest extent. Like, I've heard stories, like, oh, yeah, my parents are really supportive.
I hear that all the time, and I'm like, what does that mean? Like, what do you mean by that?
Like, what does,
like,
that mean?
Like, they understand?
They understand. Like,
that's crazy.
Like, that's a unicorn. Like, that's not possible. I only know, like, my best friend, who her parents are really chill. Like, they don't really make comments on appearance like that, but I feel like that's very rare to find. Yeah. So,
which is so yeah. sad. It's not, it's very that's sad. Not the way that it should be.
I remember I like had a lot of acne when I was in high school, and my parents and like aunties and stuff, they did not even try to like hide the fact they saw it.
Yeah. My mom used to do the same shit.
Oh, Mahua. Your face, like, changed a lot. Ah. Yeah, no shit. Your face has some gota on it. Ah. Your face has some pimples on it. Ah. Yeah. Not some, I have a lot, but thanks for mentioning it to me.
My mom used to be like, oh, if you took care of your face like I did, you would look better.
Oh, my God. If you drink water and eat fruits like how I did. You need to
drink more water.
Oh my goodness. You know, we have to have like a whole different episode on medication and the how taboo it is to have mm-hmm. medications in South Asian households, because mm-hmm. I got so much shit for going on Accutane or like taking medication for like anything. Actually, I wasn't really on medication like that, but like in general, like because I had dermatologists to like recommend face creams and stuff. And they're like, why are you using face creams when you could just drink water?
I think, and I used to get the same shit, but I think as, like, a guy, it's, like, even more looked down upon for me to
yeah. use
anything other than water.
My brother got so much shit for using an exfoliator the other day.
Bro, like, my mom used to throw away my stuff. Like, you don't need this.
Like, that's mom. That's crazy.
Chill out.
Yeah. It's. I feel like now, it's so funny because now that both me and my brother are older, we're, like, a joined force. And we, like, say anything that my mom's saying and, like, say something against it. But back in the day, you don't understand, so you don't really support one another. So it's just, like, it keeps being said, and yeah. you don't really, like, know how to push back. But it's crazy. Like, even for males, like, even just using face masks, it's like, why are you doing that? You're a guy.
Yeah, my mom used to pick on me all the time. But literally, I just kind of kept on doing it, especially with the face masks. Like, my mom used to see me walking around with my little Lush coffee grounds. What was it called? Cup of coffee. That's what it's called.
That was a good one. Okay. You haven't used that in a while.
What are you trying to say?
No, I'm saying you haven't put that on your face in a while. You used to put that on.
But I don't like the way that you said that. You know, you said a little bit, like, attackingly.
I think you look crusty musty.
It's still in my bathroom. I need to put it on again. I did get a pimple recently. It's on my cheek, you see it. No. You know, I just move on.
Also, thank you so much for sending us your Spotify Wrapped. It's so crazy to see our name on Spotify.
Somebody got, what, 802 minutes? That's literally every single episode. What's wrong with you?
We calculated that. That's 13 plus hours.
Are you okay? Are you listening?
What are you doing?
Are you listening? 802 therapy. Minutes. What's wrong with you?
They need therapy. No, we love you, but, like, are you okay? We're saying, are you okay, sicko? But really... You we sicko. Love you so much. You sicko. We love you. Come to our what birthday party. Like,
this is what you want to listen to. Oh my God.
Also, now that we're at an intermission, I am going to Bangladesh for Tell the em. First time
yeah.
in over 15 years. I only went to Bangladesh once in my lifetime when I was in first grade. Stop commenting like you don't know this about me. Oh, wow.
All right.
Freaking commentator. So anyway, I haven't gone since first grade, and my mom has not gone either, and she literally, like, you know, that's her home. So I am going back because this nonprofit reached out to me. They're called Human Relief Foundation. They're based in the UK, and they want me to come and help them in the Rohingya camps, and they want me to help some of the children in the orphanages and some of the schools that they built, and distribute like sanitary pads. They want me to distribute food and masks and different things like that. They also want me to assist in the cataract camps and assist with the operations. And it's so crazy to, like, be going back after so long, because especially with this opportunity, because I've been wanting to do this for years and years, but then COVID happened, and also we couldn't really afford it. And so they gave me this opportunity. I'm supposed to be going with my mom in February. But we have to raise money for the funds and for the donations. So we're trying to raise about $10,000 to fund the cataract operations, you know, to help them see again. We're trying to raise money to get the food to distribute. We're trying to get more school supplies for the kids. We're trying to build a water pump for some of the villages. And we're just trying to get all of these different things to really just make a better life for them. And so if you want to donate, it's on my Instagram highlights on Labyrinth Ave on Instagram. And you can donate literally $5 or you can donate each amount for whatever the thing is. So, for example, the cataract operation, you can help one person get surgery. It's $47. And that can really just help them see again even. And there's another option for donating $80, which is feeding a whole family of five for a month straight. And I think that's so crazy. So instead of spending your money on dumb stuff this holiday season, just consider doing that and really just getting your good deed out of the way. But yeah, that's my intermission for now.
You guys should definitely donate. I donated. I'm going to show my whole family. My whole family's going to donate. And if they don't, they're not my family anymore.
All right. I don't know if it's that serious. But yeah, I'm really excited. I have been really wanting to go for so long. And yeah. I can't believe that a nonprofit reached out to me and picked me for this job. But it's also really nerve-wracking to be in charge of collecting all of that money.
You're going to make it happen, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's find a way.
Also, like, why did people try insulting us by saying that we smell like curry? Like, yeah, you should be blessed that you smell that. Like, you smell like freaking salt.
You're so stupid.
It's so funny. Like, you know how when you live in a brown house and then you put on your coat and you smell fully, like, brown food?
Mm.
I remember dousing myself in perfume. I mean, also, you don't want to go outside smelling like food. But I remember, like, back in the day, I would douse myself in perfume to get rid of the smell.
So, as you guys know, we ask you guys about your thoughts and opinions on our upcoming episodes, on our Instagram stories. What's our Instagram?
Add difficult dish, y'all heard.
Add difficult dish, no hyphen. We don't need none of that.
Can you imagine if our podcast was actually called From Villages to Privileges? Because that was one of our options, but that ended up just being my clothing.
I don't mind release. It. I still like that.
I like
name.
It too, but it's just really long.
I don't think it's that bad. I think you're just being over exaggerative.
You were the one that declined that.
You declined all option. Of my suggestions for this podcast. I had a bunch of good all ones. All right,
continue.
I had a bunch of hot ones. All right, so we'll go ahead and share some of your guys' responses. If you don't already follow us for what? Ever reason that may be, it's difficult dish on Instagram. We always let you guys know. So we got a lot of responses. I guess y'all got made fun of a lot. Shit, my fault.
Shit, we brought up the trauma.
My fault, y'all. Some of y'all went off. That's crazy. Y'all good?
Yeah.
Go check into therapy. One of the responses that we got is. If you lost weight, you'd look so pretty like your sisters. The sibling comparison.
Oh, God. That sibling comparison.
Yeah, because I have a sister and I have a brother. So how did you get compared to
your sister? Who do you have? Oh, I thought you said you have a sister and a brother.
What? You sick? Yeah, did you ever get compared to your brother?
Bro, the only thing I got. Oh, actually, no, that's a lie. I got compared to multiple people, but mostly my brother. And it sucks the most because my brother is younger than me. So it's like, why the hell am I freaking getting compared to him? Because, like, my brother was a freaking nerd back in the day. He used to get in trouble for reading in class. Like, sneaking the book under his desk. And freaking weirdo wearing glasses in, like, second grade, like, hiding the book. Like, what's wrong with you? And then, like, he was that kid that would go to Model UN conferences.
I used to go to conferences. Listen, I think you're just trying to go out of your way to make fun of him. Where like this is him being a scholar.
He was going to Model UN conferences like out of state. Like he had to go to a hotel at one point. This kid was a freaking nerd, right? He was in like AP like science and advancement. I don't even know.
Listen, anyway. I'll be honest. Everything you're saying sounds really good. Like you're trying to make it. No, trying honestly, to make fun honestly, of him.
I was jealous.
But like you're just jealous. Making him.
No, sound I was good. Jealous. I was like, how come he's allowed to go to Virginia for the Model UN Congress? Ah. I'm not allowed to go anywhere. Ah. Anyways, so I used to get compared to him a lot because he had really good grades, even when they were so advanced. And I was kind of just, I was an AP, like, lit literature. I was an AP drawing. I was an AP social studies, you know, all those classes. But never, like, in the math and sciences. I sucked at those. So I was compared to him a lot. And that really brought down my self-esteem because it just, like, makes you feel shitty when you're older than them and you're getting compared to them. And it feels like you're doing nothing right. And it just makes you not want to do anything right because you're like, okay, at this point, they're not noticing anything. At this point, I'm getting compared for every single thing. I might as well just, like, keep being bad or bad in their eyes, you know, because there's no point in being better. So it's sucky. Like, but now,
how do you minimize the sibling comparison, or, like, can you?
Honestly, at my point in time, I didn't. I wasn't able to.
No.
It just, like, got worse and worse. I think it's such a different dynamic when you're getting compared to your sisters in the family, especially if you're a girl. So if you're a girl getting compared to another girl, because it just gives, like, this weird rivalry in the family, you know? It feels like you have to have competition with your own family members, and even worse, like, your sister. And sucks because you're not the one getting in that position. You're not the one trying to do that, but it's your parents pitting you against each other without even realizing it. And it really is sucky. I mean, I haven't had this experience, but I can tell, like for example, if I get compared to my best friend when I was younger, it makes me feel like I have to compete with my best friend so that I can get better grades and, like, I seem better in their eyes. So I can't even imagine how sad it feels when you get compared to someone like your sister. And it should never be like that. You should only really have yourself as competition. And I feel like if you don't stop it soon enough, it's going to just create bad blood, or it's going to create jealousy. And you never want that, you know? Like, you really just have to confront it. Like, if anything, you should talk to your sister about it instead of just keeping it silent to yourself. I don't know if you do or not, but if you talk to your sister about it, maybe you guys can team up together. Like what I said, me and my brother team up together now and, like, tell my mom. Maybe you guys can team up together and tell your mom or dad, whoever's telling you this, and say that it's wrong that they're saying that, and just, like, just continuously, like, don't let them get away with it, you know? Yeah. Because at the end of the day, if you silently feel this way, if you silently feel like you have to compete and you're carrying all of this pain and comparison, whatever, like, it's going to really eat you alive, and it's going to make you feel like you can't be with your sister comfortably. It feels like you have to, like, look a certain way around her. It feels like you have to be, like, you know, a different person.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I hope your situation at home is better than what it used to be, at least.
Yeah.
Moving on from that, I got a funny one that might not be funny, but, you know, it's something that, I mean, I definitely used to hear a lot. You really thought
this whole episode was going to be funny? I thought we were, like, crying throughout
it. I thought it was kind of funny. She looks pretty cute for a Guyanese girl. You ever heard that one?
You know what I got before?
What?
She's pretty for a brown girl.
Brown? Like, two times?
It's like brown. Okay, brown as in, like, she could have stopped. She's pretty, right?
Right.
She said brown girl.
Brown.
So she said brown as in, like, South Asian or Bangladeshi. And then another brown because I'm darker than, like, white, or, like, darker than fair-skinned people. So I'm pretty for, like, a dark... Like, basically what she said is, like, she's ugly, but, like, she's not as ugly other darker people.
Did you swing on her? Like, what was that?
No, because
what does that even...
we got bad blood.
Still?
No, I mean, she got bad blood with my best friend, so that means she got bad blood with
me. Damn, it's on site?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I was saying before, I got called, like, he's dumb for a brown kid, or, like, he's, like, you know, like, aren't brown people supposed to be, like, smart? So, like, I sit here, like, those a lot, just, like, the for a brown guy, or, like, for a brown person, you know, like, and, like, whatever the compliment slash insult maybe before that. I think it's so crazy how, like, you don't have to add that second part, you know?
You know, that's like a microaggression, because it's the same comment as telling a black person, oh, you're so literate for a black person. Mm. Oh, you're so professional for a black person. These comments that we get, that we've been getting, that are small, but at the end of the day, they're racist comments, and they end up having a very big part in your life because they keep adding up. They're microaggressions, and these people are literally giving backhanded compliments that's like making them more superior. They're saying, they're like trying to get you at a lower level by pretending like they're giving a compliment, but they're not. Mm. It's like literally just them making themselves higher in the situation.
It's like they want to show like that they're giving a compliment, but they're like actually not. It's kind of just they want to look good. Oh. All right. And the last one is when I was pregnant, people said they prayed my daughter has a fair complexion.
Oh my god. The way that people have an input on your child before they're even born is freaking crazy. If someone says anything about my child when they're born, I'm slapping the shit out of them. Like, people, if anyone tries disrespecting anyone close to me, like, you will understand and feel my wrath. That is not sliding with me. And I hate the fact that there's so many people giving comments on babies, literally how they look. They say like, oh, you shouldn't marry this person because you're going to have a dark baby. Mm. You know what someone said to me when I was born?
What?
Like, no comment, nothing. Like, no hi, hello. She got a thick neck. She got a thick neck.
Well, it was probably true. It was probably true. You probably look like the Michelin star man when you're freaking out the womb. I don't blame him. I'm on his side.
Why is he commenting on
my But head? No, I agree. And like I think about it a lot, and it's like, why do people feel like they even have to say that? Like, do you just want to feel like some sort of importance?
They feel like they're gonna explode if they don't get it out.
I think it comes back to the whole thing of like, to this day, I don't understand why like people are like, I understand like, okay, if we talk about like being gay and like homosexuality, if you don't agree with it, that's fine. But it's like, why do you care so much? I'll never understand. Like, sure, think whatever you want, but like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I never understood that.
I understand why so many women keep their pregnancies private and keep people away from their babies when they're born. Because you're going through so much stress having a baby. You're spending 9+ months sometimes preparing for a baby. They're messing up your whole food eating, like everything. They're literally, you know, taking out so much out of you. And then you friggin' push for multiple hours, sometimes multiple days.
Should have been lighter.
And then people are friggin' commenting on how the baby looks. Should have been lighter. Sick. Looks a little heavy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, oh my god, people have sicknesses. Like, honestly, this episode is just, moral of the story, you're sick.
If you're listening, you're sick. If you listen to 802 minutes of this, check into a freaking therapist.
No, actually, we love you. Like, we're saying that, but thank you so much for listening for so long. I think that's all of our episodes, and we are so appreciative. Like, I was telling my friend yesterday that art is fulfilling. Obviously, so many people connect with me, and there's so many people that DM me about my art because they genuinely feel like they can relate to it and they needed something visual to actually put it into words.
Right, but get to the point.
What'd you say? Get to the point. But our podcast literally connects with people and people look forward to it every single week. Mm-hmm. And it's just so nice to be connecting with people about real life things like this. So thank you so much again.
Yeah, if you guys, if anybody's listening right now, we love you. And
yeah, get to the point. Yes, it feels so good.
I'm done talking. Do you have 10 second advice?
Oh shit,
please. 10 seconds, not you. 10 seconds, not 10 and a half decades. Okay, not 10 and a half light years.
I don't know who you're talking to with that attitude, but it's definitely not me. How about you go first?
You look like Pinocchio.
You look like a Jolly Rancher.
You look like a blue raspberry lollipop.
You can't go from candy to candy. You gotta do something.
Who made these rules? You.
Alright. Alright. So, I feel like whenever we're young, we're always wanting to grow up, right? We always want to get to the future. And even now, even in our young 20s, we're always wishing for the future. My baby cousin, she's 8 years old. She's like, Apu, I can't wait to grow up and be 9. Apu, I can't wait to be an adult. And it's like, yeah, sure. And it feels like you want to do that. But really, life is moving so fast. This is also going to be a sneak peek of my next art piece. So if you're listening to this, watch out. Labyrinth. Because someone actually mentioned it in my DMs today. But life moves so fast. And especially now that I work in a first grade classroom, I see these first graders every single day. Oh, not twice a week right now. And they're so young, but like literally in a blink of an eye, they're going to be teenagers soon. In a blink of an eye, they're going to be adults soon. And it's like, yeah, it's really exciting to be adults, but it's also so much more nice to be in the present moment and enjoy what you have, because it literally leaves you so quick. Like, it feels like last week I graduated high school, but now it's been like 6 years. Yeah. And I'm living in an apartment, and I'm, you know, it's like I'm in grad school. I'm about to graduate soon. And it's like things like that, like 5 years from now, I'm going to be freaking 27.
Stop.
No, 28.
Yeah, yo, whatever phase in life you're in at the moment, like, just please slow down. Like, if you're, whether you're eager to get older or whether you're old and you just want to be young again, just please slow down and just, like, savor where you are at the moment.
I mean, we say that even though both of us are still very eager, you know? But yeah, slow down, because so many adults, even me, we just try to do things for our child self, and I do so many things that fulfill that childhood dream, you know?
Yeah.
And it's crazy. Like, time really moves fast.
And it's like, the more you live as a child, once you get older, you know, you just love more. Like, you just, like, appreciate more. Like, nothing makes me happier than, like, going back to, like, my neighborhood's like park, like, and like my neighborhood's like,
yeah,
and it's just because I spent so much time there, I made so many memories there, and now, like, you know, just having that beacon of like happiness in my life is beautiful, you know? So take some time and make some memories, because once you get older, those memories are gonna bring happiness like nothing else, you know? So yeah, we got a little 2-in-1 advice.
Was that your advice?
Yeah, I guess.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to Difficult Dish.
This is Difficult
Dish. Please tell your friends about us. Please leave a review for us if you
Yeah, like please leave to a us. Review on Apple Podcasts.
It really helps That's us our a favorite lot, actually. Thing.
Yeah.
Like, I know we joke around a lot, but it actually really helps us a lot.
I don't joke around. Speak for yourself.
You're a freaking clown. A clown veneer. Anyway, but yeah, actually leave us a review. It really helps us a lot. And we... Now that the year is ending and we've been at this for 4 months, we know that we're good at this. We know that we love doing this. And we know that we're going to get big at this. So
Listen, like, we are getting new microphones. We're putting, yep, like, a more strict schedule on us. We're going to start getting guests hopefully soon in the coming weeks and months. We're going to start taking this a lot more serious. So, like, if anybody's listening right now, like, yo, I love you. And... We really have a lot of stuff planned for this for like the next couple months, like even building this podcast into something bigger and just really expanding this into like a whole thing in its own. So we appreciate, yes, all you guys listening. We're really grateful for every single person that listens to us. It's what motivates us, bro.
So if Miss 802 Minutes is listening, please also leave a review because we know you've been listening. So please just pay it forward and write a review.
802. Are you okay?
If you look at your Spotify Wrapped and you have at least over 300 minutes of listening to Difficult Dish, I want you to write a review because there's no way you listen to us without actually liking us. So please leave a review, unless you're just haters, but you're actually fans at the end of the day.
Oh, wow.
Leave us a review. Leave us a 5-star. Anyway, we love you guys. Thank you so much. Follow us at Difficult Dish.
Follow us on Difficult Dish.
Follow us at Masu Munir and Larenthev.
Rate us, review us.
All right, anyways, we love you. Bye. We're tired from finals. All right, love you. Good night.
Bye.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.